phases, the phase of Tzadik V'Tov Lo into the phase of Tzadik V'Ra Lo. That's Moshe, Rabbi Akiva. You can call it Toshim Iksav, Toshim Opet. You can cut this cake however you want. The bottom line is we see there's a phase one where everything's clear and borrowed, even though Lamaisa, you haven't done anything to achieve that. The level that Klal Yisrael achieved when they went out of Mitzrayim and they achieved the Yam Suf wasn't something that they've been over on. It wasn't something they'd worked towards. Then that gets taken away. You go through dark phase. That's the period between Pesach and Shavuos. And then you get back to the level you were on, but now you've worked for it. You've earned it. You've gone through Sfiras HaEmet and La'at-La'at, you've rebuilt the Marechet. And now you can stand at HaSinai, the same level you were on just before Kriyas Yam Suf. But now you've earned it. It's yours. You've worked for it. So that's the pattern. You see that in everything. And we're seeing it now in the total sweep of history, this cosmic two periods of history, the 2,000 years of Torah and then the 2,000 years of Yom HaMashiach. We're seeing it for our purposes. We're applying this principle in the two levels of Betochen. Level of Tochen, where you get whatever you ask for because you're holding up there. And the level that we're more relating to today is the level of you accept, you makabel, whatever's coming besimcha, not that you're telling Hashem, but you being megala to Hashem, who you are, as opposed to Hashem being megala to you, who he is. So that's what we're dealing with. What's counterintuitive here is that phase two, the second phase, is always a much higher level than the first phase. And that we need to understand why that is and see how that works. I mean, at some point, it's easy to understand. The first phase was just an artificial inspiration to show you what you're capable of. The second phase is where you actually do some work. And the first phase, not you. You didn't do anything. They had a machine that was picking up the weights. Your hands were just going up and down with the machine. The second phase, you actually get to pick up the weights and build some muscle so that ultimately you'll be able to pick up all those heavy weights you were picking up with the machine helping you. So let's apply this to our sugya now, and I'm on Daf Kuf Ayin Beis, the second paragraph. Al poim shnei yistayri naglisi aleihem benisim guluim v'av guluim. In the 2,000 years of Torah, Hashem revealed himself to us in open miracles, an open expression of Ava. And then kach tizgadol tizkara shmei b'kirbo. It's like this is Hashem talking. As a result of that, Hashem's name was glorified in amongst them. That's called the Kiddush Shem Shemayim Begiluy. We know that Kriyas Yam Suf, the whole world knew about it. The Yetzias Mitzrayim, all the nations heard what happened and how Hashem destroyed Mitzrayim. They could not know about it. Mitzrayim was the center of the universe. It was the most powerful nation in the world. And it was brought to its feet, to its knees, by open miracles, wondrous things happening there. So it was a Kiddush Shem Shemayim Begiluy. Mikan ve'elech b'afayim shnois Mashiach hem megalim es avosim alai. So Hashem says, but from now on, from the Churban Bais, when we switch over from there into the 2,000 years of Yom HaMashiach, the 2,000 years of Golus, so there, Klal Yisrael now has to show their love to me. I spent 2,000 years being megala myself to them. Now I want to see what they can be megala to me. They're revealing now the love that they have, the hidden love that they have, that's hidden in the revelation. It's in the revelation, but they're bringing out that hidden aspect of it. And they're Mekadesh Hashem Shemayim, they're Mekadesh Hashem's name, my name, Hashem says, in the hidden realms, not in the Megala realms. Al the kuvas achob and varigas asara aruga malchus. The famous mice of the aruga malchus we said in Yom Kippur. It's a major part of the musaf in Yom Kippur. The sorry mariga malchus. As lo ire metzias she tzadikim bedagosam shel asara aruga malchus lo nitzalam benes. What's so unique about this mice was that something like that never happened before. There was no such thing as people on that level, tzaddikim on the Azar level, weren't nitzel benes. All the tzaddikim before were saved by miracles. Avraham Avinu nitzel mekif shana eish. Moshe Rabbeinu nitzel mecherif paroi. Moshe Rabbeinu was mamish, was a miracle. The sword hit his neck and bounced off. Daniel nitzel megoi v'arayos. Daniel was saved from the lions. Hanani Mishael v'azari nitzel mekif shana eish. All the tzaddikim in the 2,000 years of Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned the world upside down, changed nature, whatever, and he saved the tzaddikim b'nes. Something completely new happened, completely new world. The tzaddikim that are brought down, the 10 Aruga Malchus, we're not going to understand the whole sugya. It's a major sugya there. Each one, whatever, understood. The musab of such a thing happening was unprecedented. Let's try and understand that. Now he says something that is quite shocking. You would have been thinking to yourself now, okay, you know, the Yiridus Adoris. Klal Yisrael is now on a much lower level, and therefore these, you know, we're not zoichet to miracles anymore, and therefore we have to live without the miracles, and therefore the tzaddikim be killed because the old miracles happen. No, he just said something very weird. Yeah. He says mikan va'elech kaimes aliyah b'darga, which has gone up a level. If you've gone up a level, well, it doesn't make any sense. Up a level means there's more gilui, there's more Hashem. How can you say that the Hester is a bigger gilui than the gilui, a higher darga than the gilui? That mamash counterintuitive. We don't have that sort of thing. Kasher ichmasim lemakom seisa, the beginners chedi yichim akosh bochu magalim ki oisa aneichi shel aneichi Hashem elkeh Hashem tzichem eretz Mitzrayim. There's two aneichis in the picture. There's aneichi Hashem elkeh Hashem tzichem eretz Mitzrayim. There's the aneichi of Hashem who took us out of Mitzrayim. That's one anoichi, and then there's another anoichi. The anoichi has to ask the responamim. There's the anoichi of the hestaponim. Hashem says, anoichi has to ask the ponim shalem. I'll surely hide my face from them. So there was the anoichi that took us out of Mitzrayim, and then there's the hestaponim. We'll see. I think he's going to deal with it. He's going to deal with it. That you'll see that Leila Seder and El Tisha B'Av is on the same night. That's for a very good reason, and we'll see him. It's Hashem in the next, when we turn over Kufa and Gimel, we get there, we'll see. We'll see that the Anoichi of going out of Mitzrayim is the same Anoichi that took us out of Yerushalayim. That's Hashem, we'll get there. But that's the vort here. We're dealing with the same Anoichi. Don't think that something's changed here. It's your Todavah, you've just gone up a level. Kedali is Be'yosod Zeh, Hashem Emat Shitchi, who knew it tomorrow. We try and explain this properly because at first glance it looks very, very wondrous. It doesn't make any sense. How's the hestaponim and aliyah and darga? It's so the opposite of everything we've ever been taught. The Yiridus Adoris that for sure is a concept, but that's all we're talking about here. What about Yiridus Adoris? We're talking about an aliyah year of the way you relate to Hashem. It's a major aliyah. So we have to understand what that means. The same way as Rashi's dagger of the Tochen is much higher than the Chovis of Avomuses. You wouldn't say such a thing. You get to such a high level of a Tochen that you tell Hashem what you want and he's going to give it to you. Wow, that's that's big stuff. No, much greater level where whatever Hashem does, you just become the Simcha Ba'ava. That's a much higher level. And yet we don't chop that so clearly. That has to be worked through to understand that and internalize it. That message is there's a famous Maisa. It happened, it didn't happen, I don't know, but I once asked one of the Magidim, used to tell stories. Are these stories true? He said, I can only tell you one thing, I don't know if they happened, but they're all true. So the same this way, it happened, it didn't happen, but it's a well-known Maisa, the Chofetz Chaim, Talmidim of the Chofetz Chaim. It was a whole dispute between the Talmidim of the Hasidim and the Talmidim of the Litvaks. They were sitting around schmoozing. And the Talmidim of the Hasidim were busy talking about all the moifsim that the Rebbe's did. And they were pulling once on the ship, and there was a big storm and whatever. And the Rebbe said, storm to the right, storm to the left, and the ship went through, whatever. And they were talking about all the nisim that the Rebbe's were able to be mitzvah, and they got Hashem to change his mind. All sorts of wondrous things or whatever. So then they turned to the Talmud of the Chofetz Chaim, was sitting there quietly, wasn't saying anything. They said, can you tell us some of the moifsim that your Rebbe does? What does the great Chofetz Chaim do? So he said, no, my Chofetz Chaim does miracles that are much bigger than yours. Now, what could be bigger than our miracles? Our Rebbe's changed nature and they turn the world upside down, inside out. He said, no, my Chofetz Chaim, my Rebbe, the Chofetz Chaim, is whatever Hashem tells him to do, he does. that's the goodness of the Chofetz Chaim. Not that he tells Hashem what to do and Hashem listens to him. That's a darga. No one's saying not. But there's a much higher darga than that. Is you just do whatever Hashem tells you to do and you accept it, the simcha, no matter what's going on. So that's the idea. Yeah. Okay, so let's try to bring a marshal. The marshal seems to be very simple on the surface, but it's not. If you work this marshal a bit, and I would highly recommend you do, you'll see there's a lot of depth in this marshal, and it's more useful. So it's a very, very powerful tool to use when I'm dealing with tests, with nishoinus. Remember this marshal. So it says like this. נמחיש איזה דברים במושל. אבל בני נסחים מחבואים. The father and the son, and they're stuck at home with corona, they're going to need to do so, they're playing hide and seek. Playing hide and seek. אב מתחבא, ועל ילדי לגלוסה, the father hides himself, and the kid has to find him, to see where he is. השלט קטן, and the kid's a little guy. אב מתחבא, במתחס השולחן ומחר הדלת. Where do you hide when you're playing with a little kid? You hide on the door, under the table. וכל זה הסתמתי שבני יכל למצוא בקלות. You want your son to find you quickly. You can't have a three-year-old running around the house for 4.5 hours because you're hiding in the attic. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's no point in that game. So you hide like under the table or you hide behind the door, whatever, somewhere you know the kid will find you very quickly. ככל שבן גודל יויסה, ממציאיו מקויים אז חדשים ומתוחממים יויסה היכן להסתתר. As a kid gets older, so now the father has to come up with more appropriate hiding places for his son to find him. Hiding under the table with a 10-year-old, that's boring, there's no toilets in there. So the father has to think up more sophisticated places to hide so that he can test the child. The child will have more simple, more fun in finding the father. When eventually the son does find the father, wow, it's a big simcha. Big happiness, because whoa, he worked very hard to find the father in a very difficult hiding place, and he found him. הוא נהנה מכך שיש לו בן חכם שמצליח למצוא אותו בכל מיני מקומים שלא יעלה על הדעת שהוא לא יכול למצוא שם. The father is very proud and he's got a lot of nachas and simcha from the fact that he's got a son who's such a chacham that he can find his father in places that no one would ever dream of looking for you there. והנה הבן גדל והפוך לבוגר. Now the son gets older and he's already teenager, he's already an adolescent. אתה יודע אב כי לא יועיל לשום תחמים. All your chokhmot, all your wonderful ideas of where to hide now, you know, the son will find you, there's no way in the house anymore. Ulam lamarotzois, hu chafetz lishtashtem b'noi. He still wants to play with his son. He's got to come up with a game that's going to be matim for the age. Vazayla b'day tereyon. Oh, he comes up with a wonderful idea. Hu mashlich et b'noi el hayor. He takes his son and he goes into the forest with him and he leaves him there. הבן רואה מפחד ביער החושך. Now the son's in the forest. I wouldn't recommend you do this, by the way. It's a marshal. He puts his son in the forest, and now the son's mama's scared. He's in the dark forest. He's terrified. Einu roi ve'einu shomei mu'uma. He doesn't see whatever. V'vad mi'i mo'i shalchayos. You ever been out in the African bush at night? You can hear unbelievable sounds. It can be terrifying. You know, yeah, the lions roaring and the, you can, yeah, when I was there now, in last year, I was in the bush there and you're sleeping at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can hear mamash, a lion attacking something, I mean, killing it. Yeah, that's terrifying. Mamash, not poshut. So this kid's mamash terrified. He has all the growling and the roars and the sound of the forest. The beta ro aria mit karev alav. Now he's in a lot of trouble. There's a lion getting closer and closer. He sees a lion and the lion's coming towards him. ברגע הראשון המעבדת אשתו נויסוף, he melts from fear, he ממש, he just melts from terror, abject terror. אך מיד הוא מתעשת וחושב, he catches himself and he thinks one glenomen, one second. מי השליח אותי ליום? Why am I in this forest? What am I doing here? My father put me here, no? אבא שלי, אבא אהוב, my beloved father who loves me. אין זה אלא שאריה זה, אינו אלא אבא שהתחפש לאריה. There's no way my father would leave me here to be eaten by a lion. The end of Arkazim, my father loves me too much. Must be that a lion is my father dressed up as a lion. When he gash la'ari bebetocha, he walks up to the lion completely chilled. Masi al ponaves ha-masacha v'koyra abe yadati shezer. He takes off the mask and he says, I knew it was you. I knew it was you. Simcha gedoyle matzipe es libo shel ha'av b'reise es chochmas b'noi. He calls it Chochmah. I don't know why. I wouldn't say it's Chochmah. I would have said Tochen. But there's Chochmah here as well. He's so happy with his son that he's got such a wise son. The son was able to catch himself and see, hey, one second, this is, wow, that's amazing. How did the son know that? Because he understood that if I'm here because of my father, then it can't be harmful to me, it can't be bad. So this lion's a masa. This is not a wild lion. My father wouldn't leave me like this. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful mashal. Wow. Uhiski Lavin Kima Abba Yishlichotol Yor. he understands, he's clear enough to understand that his father threw him into the forest. Understands this is a hemshech of the game of Machboim. Where's he hiding? He's hiding inside a lion's outfit. But it's the same game. It's just, it's got more sophisticated because you've grown up. Like I said, very simple marshal, cute marshal, nice to play with. Oh, well, there's enormous depths here. Enormous depths. Whenever a person's in a matzav, whatever the matzav is, ask yourself, why am I in this matzav? Who put me here? Whatever's going on. One second. How did I get to be here? Yeah, one second. Same Hashem. You know? Marshal. Good art to remember with it. I found it very useful. Very useful. We don't always remember it. We get ourselves into matzavim and we flip out and we don't really get it and we're very upset and because we're not getting what we want and it's very difficult and we forget the marshal. We forget the nisoyin that Rashi set up for us. But then you remember slowly. You work on it a little bit. Yeah, you drop a bit of water on the stone there, a bit there, and lat. You find yourself in the middle of a situation. Start with little ones. Don't wait for the big event. Wait for a little situation. You say, oh, one second. I'm stuck on the side of the road here. There's only one reason that who put me here? That's Hashem put me here. This must be the best thing for me. You still do what you have to do, but you recognize that whatever situation you're in is is what Hashem wants. He's my loving father. Fine. And then you have to do everything you have to do. That doesn't part to you from you doing what you need to do. You have to go for it. You have to do whatever. You know, if you need to climb a tree because you see a lion coming beside at the same time, you know that if you're in a situation, unless you were stupid enough to put yourself in the situation, just remember that. If you put yourself in a dangerous situation, don't blame Hashem afterwards. Amazing insight from Avigdor Miller. And this Nakuda, it's not what he's talking about, it's just you need a warning about that because you can slip into this sort of so it's all up to Hashem, so whatever happens, you have to be careful. You have to decide what you want to do with this Maisa needs. Don't ask me questions about this Maisa, please, okay, because it's you have to think about it long and hard. Maybe in a week if you thought about it and I've thought about it again, you want to ask questions, we can deal with it. But it's a very penetrating Maisa. There was a person in there of Willis Kehila that he was feeding his little child, whatever, but now the child was a young child, and he was feeding him from hot soup. And he went out the room to bring something or whatever, he forgot something, he went to fetch something, he raised the spoon, whatever, and while he was out, the child pulled the hot soup over himself, Rahman al-Tsan, and burnt himself. Terribly, terribly burnt. He was in hospital, it was a ganze story. So the father came to Rav Miller and said to him, I want to be true for what I did. What avera could I have done that Hashem caused such a thing to happen? So it was the wrong question to ask Rav Miller. It was a question to anybody else. They'll tell you maybe this, maybe that. Rav Miller said it like it was. He said the avera you did was you left the child alone in the room with hot soup. That's not an avera. Why do you have to go looking for other things? You put yourself into a sakana. You can't ask Hashem to bail you out now. That's a dangerous thing to put yourself into a sakana, because then they look to see whether you're worthy. Are you worthy? Aren't you? They start opening the books. They start being very fine. You think you're worthy for such a, you know, to put yourself in such a sakana. You think you're allowed to do such a thing? Oh, you better be careful. It's brought down. They open up the books and they see who are you really. The one thing you don't want is them opening the books. The books stay closed until you do something to open them. And maybe you're not worthy to be saved then. So don't do dangerous things. That's what he said. You did an avera. The avera was you don't leave a child alone in the room with hot soup. That's a double portion, huh? So don't blame Hashem for your idiocy. Now the child had to suffer the sad of this cheshbonus. That's why I said don't ask me kashas on this story, but the vault's a vault. Avada, you find yourself in a situation like that, you're there because Hashem put you there, but make sure it's because Hashem put you there, not because you went off into the forest at night on your own because you're trying to be a hero, you know? Because then you might find a real lion out there, okay? And they don't you know, they're not the sweetest guys in town. Okay. Fine. But the Vortia is the enormous simcha that the father gets because his son's being more developed. He's becoming more of a chocham and he's able now to relate to his father on a much higher level. So that's the mantra for what we're talking about. The level where Hashem, because I'm Mitzrayim with Giloim and all the Kiddushan Shemayim, the Giloim is a lower level than the Kiddushan Shemayim with Stasa. Because in the Kiddush Am Shemayim Begilo, you don't have to do anything. You just sit there and Hashem reveals himself to you. Yeah, you need to reveal yourself to Hashem. You need to show Hashem who you are, how much you prepare to do for Hashem. That's where we get to build ourselves. Hakadosh Baruch Hu nikra kail hamistatir. Olam hu meloshen hela. The word olam is from loshen hela. We all know that the word olam, world, means hela. Hakadosh Baruch Hu mitchaber neelam mipanu betafkidei legaloso. Hashem hides himself in this world. World mask. He wears a mask. He hides himself in this world. And our job is to reveal him in this world. Kasher Am Yisrael hayetzir liyomim b'shanim kadmon yois. The Klal Yisrael was very young in the early days. Hakadosh Baruch Hu lo yistet atzmo et klal v'klal. Shayrutinu katan yefshel saket machdoi. Remember one thing: you can't play hide and seek with a six-week-old baby, or even a three-month-old baby. Hide and seek is not the appropriate game. So you don't hide yourself a klal. You're always there for the child when he needs you. Vayishiyom is galak Hakadosh Baruch Hu b'chol is letefalko. The Hashem revealed Himself to us openly. Bli hagbalah. You deserve it. You don't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. Elu ve'elu oivda avodah zara. The malacheret aina, that there's no difference between them and the mitzrim. No difference between them and the mitzrim. So we weren't holding. And yet Hakadosh Baruch Hu revealed Himself to us kol koichoi, like He never did again. Lachem ikan nechnas ha'am le'eretz Yisrael. Veblanu ma'at. Hakadosh Baruch Hu itchil lishtashay imanu, litchabei imei ha'shoiftim. So now, as you go through Jewish history, you see Klal Yisrael is now growing up, becoming Teretz Yisrael. We're becoming more sophisticated, more mature in our avoda. Because becoming mature is the ultimate reason why we're here, is to become adults. And so Kodesh Baruch is able to hide himself a little bit more. In Yimei Shoftim, you go through Tanakh, you'll see, hides himself, he revealed him. Shuv mitchabe v'shuv gilanu otanu. As you go through Tanakh, you see Hashem hiding, revealing. We grew up, Hashem hid himself away in Chubun Bais Rishon. Achshuv gilino to, we revealed him and he came back. It bogono oyed Yosef HaKadosh Baruch Hu itchabe b'teich Ariya atzma. V'itchabe b'chodesh av shemazola Ariya. Where does Hashem hide himself as the Golus, the symbol of the Golus, so to speak? Well, it's the symbol, but is in the month of Av. The mazel of Av is a lion, and it's called Av. It's called Av. You know, the month where we have Tisha B'Av and all the Chobonos and all the Soros and all the Tzad. That's Av. It's called Av. And it's an amazing thing, that, no? And it's the mashal of the mazel of a lion. Urichri ves batenu ves bechiru v'gilu talu me'atzedu. He destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. He threw us out of Eretz Yisrael. Ha'hester mamshich, and the hester carries on. Deep and deeper. Kol shanu nichnosim yoisel oimek ha'golus. Ha'hester mitgaber. As we get deep and deep into the golus, it gets more and more hidden. Ha'kodesh Baruch Hu mitchaber b'mekoyim sh'anu kimat lo malim al datenu sh'aber mitchaber b'hem. Hashem hides himself away in places you wouldn't even begin to think there's anything to do with Hashem. What's Hashem going to do with this? Achavinu shebeshamayim mit'aneg u'mishtasheya im bonov. Hashem's getting so much simcha and nachas in his children, shetobin matzlichen rototo b'kol mokum b'kol mokum. Where his children are able to see this is all Hashem, this is kulu Hashem, there's nothing other than Hashem. Imagine when the Briskerov was fleeing from Warsaw to Vilna with his son, on a journey that was fraught with dangers. I mean, you have no idea what was going on there. When they got to Vilna, they realized that it was the only wagon they got through unharmed. Most people didn't get through. Some came through with their possessions taken from them. Some had limbs lost. There were horrific, horrific stories. And they got through. They were stopped only once in the entire journey. They went through dozens of roadblocks. They were never even stopped. Why? Because he was holding on a level of Einod Milvada. If you're holding on a level of Einod Milvada, the Rechaim Velozhin gives you a promise. He was a Mishpocha Rechaim Velozhin. Gives you a promise that nothing can harm you because you just see it's all Hashem. It's no Nazi general out there. It's like, all Hashem. Now once again, we can't even begin to understand the theory of this level, but he was holding there. So he was Kaviyachol. I mean, we're not trying to belittle anything, Chas v'chalila, but he was in the marshal playing hide and seek with Hashem. And Hashem was getting knows nothing. He was Magal Hashem at every point. Every point. He lived with miracles. It's amazing, amazing, amazing. So when they were in Vilna, they had a house. They had a very, very nice house. Chamoza, whatever, the Briskerov, the Gordlador, they had the ranch. They had a very nice house when they arrived in Vilna for him and his family. And what happened was, when the Russians came to Vilna, they needed homes for all their high-ranking officers. So the way it worked was is the officer would come with his wife. They'd look at the house, If they liked the house, they would take the house and they would give you another house. So the Briskerov's daughter, Rebbetzin Feinstein, Abba Sholem, she went to look at the new house and she came back. She was horrified. She was crying. It was a little whatever, out in the middle of nowhere, whatever. It was mamish, like a squatter camp like thing. And she was very, very upset. And the Briskerov said to her, "We have to be mechazik in ruchnis. This is ruchnis dikol. This has nothing to do with the Russians or whatever. This is us in Shemayim, and we have to mechazik ourselves in ruchnis." They said, "It's fine." Unbelievable. Listen to this, okay? She told the story, Robertson Fonson, that this is from first hand, from her. So she said every time a Russian officer would come to look at the house, and it was a very nice house, they would be absolutely revolted and leave straight away, like in disgust. Every time they'd come to look at it, they would send them there, because they knew it was one of the nicest houses in town. So they would send the high-ranking officers straight away. They would walk in, take one look at the house. They wouldn't even walk around. They'd just walk in through the front door, have a look, and with disgust, they would leave the house. Unbelievable. This carried on for a few weeks. Eventually, the Briskerov left the house to leave Vilna. The Kharinov carried on the journey, escaping from the Nazis, Mach Shmon. The day after the Briskerov left, a Russian officer came to look at the house, liked it, then moved in. That's the Briskerov, playing hide and seek with a Kharinov Belfort. And revealing him in every aspect, because he recognizes if I'm in this situation and there's a Russian coming to look at my house, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu playing and working with me. So therefore my response is a ruchnistic response. That's what it is. And he also knew that if the Russian had taken the house and he'd moved into the convent, then it would have also been where he was supposed to be. Wouldn't have phased him. We'll see as we go through, we will see how a lot of the Briskerov's teachings on the Toch and just through what he lived, you'll see a lot of it becomes very relevant here. Fine. Okay. So, just a story, just to illustrate the vote here. Fine. Tanya Lamdin Shadavka is the right at the bottom of Kufan Gimel. Tanya Lamdin Shadavka is the Choshech Muchichim Ki Hitbalgano. It's Dafka the Choshech. It's Dafka the Hest upon him, and the new Nisoyin is the intensification of the Nisoyin that shows that you're growing up. You've gone up a level. You were in grade 3 and you've now been promoted to grade 4. So it's much tougher, much harder. You used to be a big shot in grade 3, the end of grade 3. Now at the beginning of grade 4. So it looks like you've gone down. But you haven't. You've actually been promoted. As we get more and more sophisticated, we're able to find Hashem more and more. Hashem has to hide more and more and deeper. But we're starting to find Hashem more and more and deeper. Will we find him? Will we blame the coronavirus on the Chinese, or will we blame it on Hashem? Who are you going to complain to? Who are you going to blame? Rebecca told me he was a rov in a Holocaust survivor community in Connecticut, I think. The young rov, and they were all Holocaust survivors. His parents were Holocaust, his mother was a Holocaust survivor, and they were Holocaust survivors. We used to have a minion. They used to come dubbing there, whatever, each one on his own, whatever, going through his own misanus and struggles after the Holocaust, and they were dubbing there. And every now and again, one of the guys who wasn't davening, was from the same group of friends, whatever, but they already weren't davening, they weren't involved in Yiddishkeit anymore, would come in and start screaming at the ones that are davening, "What are you doing? Why are you still davening? How can you still believe in God after what we went through? Boss, have you lost your minds? What are you doing?" Whatever. I was shouting at him. So he said, the one day this guy came in, he started screaming at one of them, I don't know, Yankel was screaming at Ruven, whatever, "How can you still believe in this? Why are you still davening? What do you think?" Whatever. So in the middle of Shmona Esrei, he turns around to me and he says, "If I don't believe in God, who am I going to complain to? Who am I going to blame for this?" That's a tiff of vote. He said, he understood. And Achinam is from Hashem, and I'm angry with Hashem, and I'm cross with Hashem, and I'm complaining, and I'm very upset with him. But at least I know that it's from Hashem. Who else am I going to blame? If it's not Hashem, who are you going to blame? Who are you going to blame for this COVID-19? The Chinese? For goodness sake, the Jew has a look at what's going on. He understands that. This is from Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's here for my good, ultimately. In Achinami, we have to deal with what's with the suffering, the Tzadik Varalo, and how it works, why the Magaif is not Mafchi, but Tzadik Varosh. All not easy questions. But the first Mabat is simple, just like a child playing hide and seek. My father, this is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and this is, you want something from me. He wants me to try and discover what the message is. Yeah, what's the message? Okay, let's stop there. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll carry on and we'll deal with the, we'll see this much clearer. That was a marshal. We'll see Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow much clearer in reality what was going on at Yetzias Mitzrayim and what's going on with Yetzias Mirushalayim. We'll see how those two sugyas are actually one sugya. And when you see that, this whole thing becomes much, much clearer. Okay, it's not easy stuff to deal with. I mean, it's very nice intellectually if you want to play with it, it's lovely. But when you start putting it into practice, you start dealing with these are not easy sugyas. Not easy sugyas, 2,000 years of Jewish trauma. You're never going to intellectually rationalize it. Don't even try, you can't. There has to be a dose of imunah as we go through dealing with sugyas like this. Okay, that's enough for one day, I think. And that's a sugya.